in my guide. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Amen. 115 next.
You got the old vocal cords going. It's almost like, should we be singing as a tenor or baritone this morning? Because we're mostly men. But, amen. 115. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I find in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other one so kind and true. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. The more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know much why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
Norman, if you're good to come and read, you come on ahead, brother, please.
This morning's reading is from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame with his mother, from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, and God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the time for refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive into the times of restitution for all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever ye shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Norman and Steve in absentia. Amen. Just want for you to bear in mind our prayer list. Please do be praying over that, even if it's only once a week, even with us that are here. Everybody gets prayed for every working day of the week, and I could go for that, but I am sure their names are mentioned more than once in people's quiet times. I would ask that you would continue to pray for the folks in Afghanistan that are not needing to be in Afghanistan right now. There's many different nationalities, but especially Americans, British, local Afghans, that help those folks against the local terrorist organizations. I was just saying to Norman out in the entryway there, somebody passed a comment about the way things are going in America right now. And now, bear in mind when I say these things that generally speaking, it is not the people of a particular country that are wicked, it is the ruling parties of countries that are wicked. But Joe Biden has equipped one of the largest terrorist organizations in the world with billions of dollars worth of arms and weapons. He has turned a blind eye to all the shenanigans that the Chinese government is getting up to. And he has facilitated the Russian economy. And these are not things that you would normally do for your enemies. And in which case, he's made it difficult for Israel to defend itself by withholding at one point armaments for its Iron Dome anti-missile system. He has hurt the UK, and he has hurt Canada, and most importantly, has hurt his own people. And when I say hurt, that's in brackets. Everybody that's for America, he has stuck a knife in them. And everyone that's against America, he has given them money and help and a pat on the back. And there needs to be a great deal of prayer made for, well, not just for America, but for all of those countries and all of the others that will experience change because of the things that have gone on. We live in interesting times and we still live there. May not seem too bad at the moment. I was reading the other day comments of a Jewish woman that whenever she was pressed about all of the things that had changed in Nazi Germany to take them from, well, good citizens that contributed greatly to the economy to the pariahs that were blamed for everything that was going wrong in Germany. Didn't all happen at once. It happened an inch at a time, a little bit here and a little bit there. She said it wasn't until they put the armbands on people with the yellow stars that they realized it had gotten that bad. And things are getting gradually worse and worse and worse. We all need prayer. There are many folks on our prayer list that need prayer. Don't forget the Christian Institute as well, and the Kids for Schools, and Francis Cosgrave. And there are many other missionaries and Christian outreaches that are going on in the world that we don't personally support, but pray for. There's a lot needing prayed for. And as well as that, Ling had a little bit of an interesting adventure over the past few days. She was going over to see Frank in London, and she got up to Derry, was it? Cancelled the flight and told them that they needed to get up to Belfast. And they got to Belfast and were told that there were no seats on the flights, that they had just wasted their time. And then they were going to be doing this, that and the other. And Ling just got on another plane. So I pray that her return journey is not as adventurous as her outward journey. But as well as that, Taylor's travelling back at the end of the week as well, isn't she? So pray for Taylor as well. She's coming a bit farther. And she'll have to hop through a few more hoops than Ling will to get back into the UK. But please do pray for Taylor and for her family at this time as well. Of course, we miss Pat and Steve and Esther. And, anybody that can't make it. But please do pray about that. There's a lot going on. Don't forget your private prayer requests, the ones that, we all have rattling around in our heads. please do pray for them. Do continue to pray for Stan. He's still recovering. I think he's only about a third the way through his expected recovery period. He's still suffering the effects of whatever it was that he got. And it's going to be another couple of months before he is off the hospital's books. So don't forget that as well. I think that's about that. Is there anything else that we... Yep, the work in the church then will be ongoing, Lord willing, from tomorrow morning. So we'd appreciate a wee word or two of prayer as we go. We have no idea what it's going to look like when we pull the siding off the back of the church. It might be, it might literally be held up by prayer and paint. Who knows? So please do pray for us as we work on that and gather the materials for the same. Amen. Well, would you pray for us and lead us in a wee word of prayer, if you would, brother.
Dear Father, we just say, Lord, thank you for praying safe and securely into your house today, Lord. Come over and over, and Lord, pray with us and bless us as we come to hear the word of God, Lord, and to commune more with thee, Lord. Bless us and keep us up, pray for us and brother and also, Lord, for better and wise manners. Deliver from trouble, Lord. Bless them, Lord, bring them, draw close to thee, and Lord, pray for them as well, Lord. With yes, sir. Sorry, with Lane Frank, Dr. Shannon, Lord, pray for them also, Lord. With Frank, it's in London, keep them safe and well, and draw close to thee, Lord, and provide for them, and give Lane Journey verses to love from any trouble, Lord, to help and provide for us as well, Lord. And Lord, pray for that, save Stephen, Carl, and John, provide for them and keep them, Lord, and keep them safe, Lord, and save their souls mighty, probably by their will, by their love, Lord. With Esther and the Nephoma, Lord, don't let them come back, Lord, help her to ease her pains. Deliver from any doubt or uncertainty, Lord, and help her and bless her, Lord, and keep her safe and well and with thee, Lord. With Taylor, she's traveling, Lord, keep her safe, secure, and well, Lord, and keep her well, and keep her in communion with thee, Lord, and deliver from any trouble, Lord, and her safely and securely back to us as well, Lord. With Pat and Steve, Lord, with the diabetes, Lord, and heal it, Lord, and reduce the effects of it, Lord, and help Steve in his illness, Lord, his triple COPD, his heart, Lord, his fingers. Oh, sorry, he's all these conditions, Lord, that you might heal him, Lord, and deliver from any pain or any suffering, and provide for him and keep him safe as well, Lord. Go this day, Lord, and may we learn more about thee, Lord, and draw us closer to thee for thy honour and for our good requests again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. And let's take our hymn books again, and we'll sing another song just as soon as I get my hymn book out and pick a number. Here we go. Hymn number 117. 117. This is familiar to everybody. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Looks like we're doing three verse hymns this morning. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Now, if you're able, let's stand as we sing.
Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song to me. Only a few more trials, only there by his love forsaken, sweetly my soul shall rest. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me.
Thank you very much, but don't put your hymn books away. We're going to sing 54, and that will be an ultimate hymn of the service. We'll be opening our Bibles after this one. Hymn number 54, Oh That Will Be Glory. It's hymn books away time and Bibles out time, and I'm going to be taking a wee look at the book of Ezekiel this morning. That's about a halfway through the Old Testament, give or take, just after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 2. We're going to be reading Ezekiel chapter 2 and a bit of Ezekiel chapter 3 this morning. Ezekiel chapter 2 is only a wee shorty. There's only 10 verses in it. And I'd like to read a handful of verses as well from Ezekiel chapter 3. It's good to have you here. Like we said, please do pray for our brothers and sisters, not just in this church, but across the land and across the world, going through difficult times all over. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 2. And he, that is the Lord, said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and though thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed by their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent unto people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than a flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Amen. I'd like to take, it's about 6 or 7 verses in there, verses 9 and 10 from chapter 2, and the first 3 or 4 from chapter 3. And we're speaking on the subject of sweet rolls this morning. I hope you can see where that title comes from. Amen. Christy, would you pray for us if you would, brother, please?
Lord, we are thankful for this day, for your goodness, Lord, for new mercies every morning. Thank you that we can be in your house again this morning, Lord, without your persecution or arrest, Lord. And most of all, we're thankful for salvation, Lord. And thank you in advance for the message we're about to hear as well. Please be with the preacher this hour, guide every word and thought. I pray that you give heavenly wisdom and boldness, Lord, as he proclaims your word to us this morning. Give discernment to each heart here, Lord, each ears that would listen, Lord, at a later date and time. I ask and pray that you accomplish your will here amongst your people, Lord, please. We'll be with your sister churches, meet you, God, in your name, and pray that you'd be there amongst them. Strengthen your church in these days. Prepare us, Lord, for the works that need to be done in the times that lie ahead. I pray that you would just guide each step, and Lord, just prepare our hearts for what will need to be done as well. Save the lost, we pray, in our family and friends. Lord, be with all those that couldn't be here as well. Lord, those that are sick and downcast, pray a touch of healing. Lord, those, Lord, that are just at their wits' end, I pray a touch of comfort and grace, Lord, for them. Draw them close to yourself this time. Help us this time, Lord, we ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We're speaking on sweet rolls. Well, sweet rolls for Christians, that is. And as the Bible says at the very end of verse 10 in chapter 2, mournings and lamentations and woe for the unsaved, for the soul that is rejecting Jesus. But there's so much more in there that leads us up to this point. Sadly, whenever you're reading the Old Testament, more often than not, you're going to come across a position where God's people have been not listening to what God actually says. In fact, you really couldn't even call them God's people because they're just behaving like everybody else. And of course, they have an option for all of the other peoples in the world back in the day and even today. There was no teaching about God. There were all the false gods. There was Molech, there was Chemosh, there was Ashtoreth, and a bunch of other gods that people worshipped. And people really didn't have any other option as regards worship until the Lord came along. And most often it was judgment that these people suffered. But the children of Israel always had another option. They always had the God of the Bible before them and all of these other gods. Joshua himself even said, you know that famous verse, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But before he says all that, he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Is it the God of the Bible or the gods of the people of the land in which you dwell? Or the gods that the people worshipped on the far side of the flood? Choose whom you will serve," because they have a choice. God's people have a choice. And sadly, as is most often the case as well, there was only one man. There was this man, Ezekiel. And some people have read the book of Ezekiel, and I think there's some crazy stuff in there, or some really wonderful descriptions of the angels, of the creatures that that keep the company, the very close company of God in heaven. And we're not speaking about that because that's in heaven. And this is the thing that very much concerns us in this day and age, that it seemed to be that all of God's people had gone off the rails. And there was one man that would take time to listen to God. And then he had to be encouraged by God to go out to the people of God to tell them all about God. And God said, they will know that there was a preacher among them. Regardless of whether they listen or not, they're going to know that my man, my preacher, my prophet, was walking and talking among them. I am sure that can only mean there was a lot of doctrine preached. There were a lot of reminders about the great deliverances preached. There was a lot of reminders about the great judgments that fell upon not just the children of Israel, but also those that hated God. And then it brings us right up to this little picture of a hand that appears with a roll of a book in it. And before he eats it, it's a bit odd, but he has looked at it and it's full of lamentations and mourning and woe. And yet, whenever he is commanded to eat it, it's sweet on his belly. And I got to thinking, how can that be? We'll come back to that in just a minute. Or as a famous news secretary said, we'll circle back to that in a little bit. Only we really will circle back to that in a little bit. God goes on to say to Ezekiel, And it's written down so that the people that listened to Ezekiel, and even in retrospect, could go back and read this and think about this point. He said, I want you to bear in mind, Ezekiel, I'm sending you to your own people. Now, we know, because the Lord even said himself, that sometimes whenever you're amongst your own people and you stand up and you start preaching about God, people are going to say, that's the guy that used to drink. That's the guy that used to party. That's the guy that used to fight. That's the guy that used to sleep around, do drugs, tell dirty stories, you name it. And they're not going to pay him any mind. But God said, I want for you to know, and I want you to make a note of this so that the people looking back can know, there was not going to be any confusion, because they are going to hear my words spoken to them in their own language, in their own dialect, in their own way. No one is going to be able to come back and say, I didn't understand that. And he said, you're going to face opposition. Opposition from people that should have had your back. But don't be afraid, he said. Keep your eyes on me. And I love these verses. Let's just read it. He said, I have made thy face strong against their faces, in verse number 8 and 9 and 10. I have made thy forehead strong against their foreheads. That sounds like the precursor to a Scotch kiss. And as an adamant harder than a flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed, upset at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said, Son of man, all the words that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear in thine ears, and go and tell them to the children of Israel. That's the summing up of verse number 11. Now, I'm reminded of a precious promise that exists in Matthew 10:19 for the person that loves lost souls and wants to go and preach the gospel. He said, whenever you're in a situation, whenever you're delivered up, the word of God says, when you're in a position, when the lights are on you and you're sitting in the big chair, don't you be afraid. Don't you be concerned. Just say the things that I give you. Just open your mouth. Think on me, and I will give you the words. And it'll not be you that speaks, it'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. But don't you be afraid. And nobody will be able to say, no, that's not right, because if it's the Scriptures, it is. And the Scriptures have a mighty power around them. Paul noted it in Romans 1. He says, it's the power unto salvation to anyone that believeth. So it's well worth paying attention to. These people were going to get the full counsel of God's word. They were going to be reminded that they had every opportunity. And they will not be happy. That's what God said. It's not going to be something that's strange to them. It's not going to be something that happened to, on the far side of the world, to completely different people. It's all going to be about them. Them and their God. He said, they'll not be happy about it. You might not even be happy about it. But get out there and do it. And always remember to speak my word, the Lord said to Ezekiel. It's a very strange thing. Imagine such awful news being sweet in the belly of a Christian. I got to thinking about that a bit, and I wondered, how could that be? And so and I'm sure everybody does it when the preacher's preaching, they think about, oh, the preacher missed that. I didn't miss it, I purposely left a wee gap so that you could fill that in for yourself at a later date. I got to thinking about reasons why the things that God would tell to Ezekiel would be full of lamentation, mourning, and woe, and yet be sweet to a Christian. So it's obviously the same word, but it hits two different hearts. And I've got a handful of reasons why it would be so sore on the lost soul. And then we'll think on some of the reasons why it's so sweet to the Christian. First of all, whenever a lost soul hears the gospel, They are immediately convicted. That's just the long and short of it. They're convicted, A, that they're wrong and God's right. They're convicted that they still have not done anything about it. They're convicted that they're not going to heaven. They are shown to be prideful. They are shown to be ignorant of God's word in a very deeply spiritual and personal way, because it hits home. It irks people. It's not a, oh, I'm taking a position against the gospel. It really does irk people. It shows them that they're wrong about sin, that they have made sin their friend, and that if they don't get some help some way soon, they're going to suffer the eternal penalty for it. And nobody wants to hear that the life that they have poured so much time and effort and money into is so wrong that it's going to take them to hell. People have a lot of ownership in their lives. After all, it's their lives. It shows also that they're on the wrong side of eternity. They are on the broad road that leads to destruction side of eternity. That they have forsaken the straight and narrow road that leads to life side of eternity. It also shows whenever, and all of these things will run through a lost soul's mind, and maybe even in a moment of time, whenever lost souls congregate at the passing of a loved one, and the Bible starts to be read, and the tears start to fall, and they do, even for Christians, even for those that love the Lord, it is a difficult time. But for those that have rejected Christ's salvation and his assurance and his comfort and his wisdom, what is there? There is a final saying goodbye. There is a final regret. There is the knowledge that they'll never be seen again. No matter what the minister reads from his perverted version of the scriptures, there is no meeting up again at the pearly gates. There is no walking arm in arm on the streets of gold. There is no inviting over and fellowshipping in the endless ages of eternity in your mansion in heaven. There is no lifting up your voice and thanking the Jesus Christ that gave his life on the cross. There's nothing like that. There's a couple of things very unlike it, mind you. There is a place where the flames dieth not, where the worm dieth not and the flames are not quenched forever. There is a nagging, gnawing regret and a very real torment that is placed upon the immortal soul of the Christ rejecter. You could be sure of shooting. Even if God did relax the rules and let everybody into heaven, and there is space for everybody to have a huge mansion and a lot of space besides, just in the New Jerusalem, you could be sure of shooting if a lost soul is not going to be able to stick the preaching of the cross from the King James Bible for an hour once a week. They're sure not going to be able to stick an eternity in heaven where it's all about Jesus and it's all about praising the Lord and it's all about the angels that came to help, and it's all about lost souls that got saved and literally can spend the rest of eternity talking about the great things that God did for them. There is a reason the word of God is bitter on the tongue of the lost soul. There's no reason to keep going in this life. What was it? Was it Paul that said, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die? What's the point? What is the point in going on in this life if whenever you come to the end of it, it's for nothing? What is the point? A lost soul has no point except the accumulation of wealth. That's it. The picking up of a hobby, a great high paying job, no fear sports, TV, computer games. What's the point?
And every single one of those you leave behind when you step off this mortal coil. There is a very good reason for the word of God being bitter in the heart of the lost. Another reason is that all of these things that people do with their lives and even fill their lives and make their whole lives, the word of God says over and over again, mean nothing in the sight of God and mean nothing as regards getting you to heaven. It's a little bit like somebody in a wheelchair coming to the White Cliffs of Dover. If I'm on what coast is that on? Is that on the east coast or the west coast of England? East? So I'm on the wrong side, but anyway. And they think, I am going to make, I was thinking of America, but I'll use Europe then as the example. Someone on a wheelchair and the Olympic long jump athlete, I think the long jump record's something like 9 meters, which is nearly 30 feet. Could you imagine someone long jumping nearly the length of this hall? Something crazy. Maybe it's 7 meters, but it's something crazy. And the Olympic long jumper takes this 20-yard run and gets a good run up. And the person in the wheelchair takes their wheelchair and they think, if I just wheel my chair fast enough off the cliff here, I'll hit France before I hit the water. And the Olympic long jumper, who, well, he's going to get an awful lot farther than the guy in the wheelchair, he's able to jump maybe 20 or 30 or 40 meters before he hits the water, thinking that he's going to hit France. It doesn't matter. It does not matter your contributions to eternity. They are not enough. It is only Christ's sacrifice and his contribution to your eternity that is going to make a difference. And people find that very hard to swallow. It makes all of their contributions seem very, very little. And to be honest, they are. Whenever life gets difficult, who does the lost soul go to? Do they go to the bottom of a bottle? Do they go to a syringe, to a bottle of pills? Do they go off the bridge? Do they go to a psychiatrist? Do they go to a psychologist, a friend? There is no one to comfort you. There is no one to say everything will work out for the best in the end. That doesn't exist for the lost soul. I have heard many as a lost person say it'll all work out for the best. But there's a caveat at the end of that. It'll all work out for the best for those that are saved and for those that are obeying God. And that means for Christians that love the Lord and are prepared to do something for the Lord. But if you don't have the Lord, you don't have that guarantee. And every single time a commandment is shown, and there was a great effort made a number of years ago, I don't know if it's in the courts in the UK, but definitely in the courts in America, there was a great push to remove the Ten Commandments. Because even the judge and the court officers are guilty before the Ten Commandments, not just the criminals being sentenced. Even the merest mention of the word of God is enough to make the life of the most perfect lost person bitter. And I suppose even the prophecies that are contained in the word of God, all that they do when they come true and as they come true right in front of us today, all that they do is confirm every single thing that we've mentioned before, that God is the God of creation and time and can manipulate it like we manipulate a knife and fork as we eat our dinner, and that they're wrong. They are reminded that all of the promises, all of the comforts, all of God's blessings are not for them, and that heaven is not going to be their home. It is no wonder that to the lost soul, the word of God is full of lamentation, mourning and woe, because that's all there is. But for the saved soul,
I'm going to get the hard bit out of the way first. Sometimes God takes his children and he'll beat their behinds. And that's the worst thing that'll happen to you. God will chasten you. He'll withdraw his spirit from you. You'll notice the fellowship will dry up. He'll maybe give you a hard time to draw you back to him again. That's the worst it's going to get. Unless, of course, you don't go back, in which case your life could be over. But then your life just gets immediately better because you're carried by the angels, as it said in Luke 16, to Abraham's bosom, but to heaven. You have your home in heaven guaranteed. When a Christian hears the word of God preached, or indeed even preaches the word of God, they're reminded that this is their God. This is the God of their salvation. This is the God that has them in the palm of his hand and no man can pluck them out. This is the God that whenever he left us physically, he sent us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is with us constantly, not spying on us, but watching over us, keeping us. And the Holy Spirit reporting back to our Father in heaven and saying, Mark needs this, or Mark needs that, or Mark needs a solid kick up the backside. And our Father in heaven will send angels to do that. If they're ever walking with a limp, you'll know I was misbehaving and got maybe a more solid kick up the backside than I was expecting. We're reminded that heaven is our home. We're reminded that these bodies, whenever they're done, will be replaced with new, immortal, everlasting, indestructible, sinless bodies, glorified bodies. You remember the description of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before he went up to heaven? Sorry, before he went down into the earth, he was beaten to a bloody pulp. His face was more marred than any man. They plucked his beard off and chunks of flesh came off with that as well. His back was cut to ribbons. The nails were punched into his hands and his feet, and a spear plunged into his heart to make sure he was dead. He was a bloody rag of beaten flesh. And yet, whenever he was seen in paradise, he came down as the Savior with the marks of the cross in his hands and his feet. Whenever he was seen of Mary, he was restored except for the marks of the cross in his hands and in his feet. Whenever he met with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he was fully restored. Whenever he met with the disciples in the upper room, he was fully restored except for the marks of the cross in his hands and in his feet. And for the endless ages of eternity, the only one that should be completely perfect is the only one that will be marked with the marks of the cross in his hands and in his feet. And we will have his perfection. We have that promise. I was reading in John chapter 14, where it says we have the promise of a home in heaven, a mansion. The lost soul doesn't have that. Whenever we say goodbye to a loved one at a graveside, a loved one that has known the Lord and Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Yes, parting is difficult, but we have that promise that we will meet again. It's only for a little while. We're reminded that whenever we read about these prophecies, that this is our God and Savior that holds the future in his hand and that has shared these portions of it with us, because he loves us and he wants us to be prepared. He doesn't want our hearts and minds to break whenever the world comes tumbling down, which is why he tells us this before. We are reminded that God loves us. We are comforted. We have that conduit, that communication with God at any moment of any day. So that no matter what, the world, the flesh and the devil, and even, as they used to say, old Father Time, throws our way or takes from us, that our eternities are intact. That all of the things that we do in this life for the Lord will be remembered and will count towards something. Not our salvation, but to go to those treasures of gold and silver and precious stones that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 describes. Laid up in heaven, our treasures laid up in heaven. Good works, those all mean something to God. He loves those. We can be joyful in our lives whenever we sit and read the Bible, or we spend time in His presence, or we're lifting up His praises, or preaching, or indeed being preached at, that it's a comfort, it's a chastening, it's an edifying, it's an strengthening or an encouraging. And all of this, and I am sure you could think of a few more things that God has done for you, just even worked with you in things around the world that's not specifically mentioned in the Bible, granted a prayer request, or I don't know. All of these things, the overcoming power, the great purpose, the provision, the prayer time in His presence, they're all there for you, child of the King of Kings. And that is good to know, let me tell you. So I want for you to remember this as you go. The Word of God is good for you, Christian. Even the tricky ones like Ezekiel and Revelation, they're good for you. Wouldn't it be awfully boring if we knew every single thing about the Bible as soon as we read it? The Bible is like a big shelf of drawers that we can't quite reach the top ones until we grow a bit. And as we do, we are able to open more doors and discover more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But even though it's a joy for you, and even though it should be a help for you, and even though it's always good to do something for the man that did so much for us, don't be surprised when people are not exactly patting you in the back whenever you tell them about the great things that God did for you. Because all the things that we just spoke about making the mix is a bitter taste to them. And they're going to say things about you. They're going to reject you. They're not going to welcome you into their company. Don't take it personally. The Lord said, I'll set your face as a flint. In fact, just set your face as a flint. Set your eyes and your heart and your mind in its entirety on the serving of God, even if it's just for that little bit of time, and trust Him to hold your heart and to keep that which you have entrusted to Him. I think that's in 2 Timothy 1. And it'll all work out for the best. It'll all work out for the best. Just keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that role that you hear read or that you read for yourself will be sweet in your belly. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And we're going to sing a song. If anybody has a request, I would. In the black book. Is that a number 8? Number 8 in the black book is Christ is the Savior of Sinners. Do the job. Let's stand as we sing number 8 in the black book.
Himself for the ransom.
ransom, this is the Savior for me. Now I can say I am pardoned, happy and justified free, saved by my blessed Redeemer. This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me, giving himself as a ransom. This is the Savior for me. Now I can only receive me, seeking from judgment to flee. Neither is no condemnation. This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me, giving himself as a ransom. This is the Savior for me. Loved with a love that's unchanging, blessed with all blessings so free, how shall I tell out his praises? This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me, giving himself as a ransom. This is the Savior for me. Soon shall the glory be dawning, then when his face I shall see. Sing, O my soul, in thy gladness, this is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me, giving himself as a ransom, this is the Savior for me.
Thank you for your good time and attention. Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your house, for your word, Lord, for your Son Christ Jesus, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for a job to do and a place to do it. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. Please, Lord, constrain the leaders of our country and the leaders around the world. And I pray you, Lord, for people to draw close to you, even in these last of the last days. For the leaflets that went out on Saturday, I pray you, Lord, that you would use them to work in people's hearts and minds and save those souls. Lord, even now, I pray you, Lord. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. And we ask it according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.